President Obama's jobs bill. The Senate is poised to vote it down later today, but as in a magic show, Democrats are working to make the bill reappear elsewhere on the stage. Benjamin Applebaum is a Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Benjamin, so it's political theater as the curtain falls on the president's jobs plan. Democrats are scrambling for Plan B. What would that be?
Well, Democrats and Republicans are kind of desperate at this point to show that Washington is doing something to help the economy. And President Obama's jobs bill is going to get voted down probably this afternoon and doesn't really have a future as such. But there are pieces of it that are more popular, such as the proposal to extend a holiday on payroll taxes. And there's an active search for ways of passing those as separate pieces of legislation.
Here's some of the other parts of it. New spending for teachers, infrastructure. Independent analysts, according to the New York Times, say that would add 1.9 million jobs. So perhaps put these ideas out in smaller pieces. But the president isn't assured of all the Democrats in the Senate even doing that. I'm reading Senator John Tester, the Democrat from Montana, told a newspaper in his home state, he thinks maybe cutting the payroll tax or continuing the cut could hurt Social Security, which is paid out of the tax. So even some Democrats have some questions about some of the pieces.
Absolutely. The president's problems extend beyond the opposition of Republicans. There is just incredible apprehension in Washington about any plan to spend more money. There's this widespread public sentiment against additional stimulus. And many moderate Democrats, particularly the ones like Tester, who are facing re-election campaigns, are incredibly gun-shy about voting for anything that looks like a spending bill.
But on the other hand, that puts them in a tough political place as well, because if they vote with the Republicans against the bill, then they, as others have said, undermine the president's claim that it's Republicans that are obstructionist.
Indeed. And, you know, there's a broader dilemma here, which is that, you know, nearly all economists agree that Washington ought to be doing something to help the economy. The majority of voters seem opposed to doing something. Politicians are caught between the possibility that they'll anger voters now and the very real possibility that if they don't act, voters depressed about economic conditions will be even more angry come next fall.
But Benjamin, we thought that voters were also saying in polls that they didn't mind things like taxing the very wealthy, that in fact they wanted that. And when you go over to the House, where Republicans are in charge, their job creation bills are moving in a completely different direction. They're looking to stop regulations and cut back taxes on big business. So where's the disconnect here?
Yeah, you know, there's sort of two issues. The first is that this is not a majority-run government. A minority party can effectively impede the will of the majority. It's designed to work that way. And the second issue is that, you know, there are different groups of voters. The constituency that Republicans see as their own, the voters who they rely on to return them to office, are not nearly as enthusiastic about this notion of a tax increase.
Well, we want to make sure we touch on the President's Jobs Council. This is a group of executives who've been advising the president on the economy and job creation. They're presenting their report to the president today in Pittsburgh. A lot of corporate executives on the commission, including GE. And, of course, reports last spring showed that GE didn't pay taxes for 2 years because of tax lawyers finding all the loopholes. The Jobs Council's lead recommendation seems to be attracting foreign investment to the U.S. Your thoughts on that?
The irony, the historical irony here is really kind of incredible. It's really a sign of the times. I'm sure many listeners will remember, you know, 20 years ago, the level of horror with which investment, particularly by Japanese companies in the United States, was viewed. It's a sign of how depressed people are about our economic prospects, how desperate is the search for solutions of any kind. The notion here is that basically, if we can't provide our own economic vitality, perhaps we can convince foreigners to come do it for us.
And by the way, the report also says there's no silver bullet for creating jobs. They back some of President Obama's proposals, like more spending on infrastructure, and they do back some of the Republicans' calls for relaxing some regulation. But meanwhile, is the idea of a surtax on income over $1 million a year, is that completely dead?
It certainly does not command a majority of the votes in either chamber of Congress. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that it's dead as a policy measure. As politics, it remains popular, and I expect you'll continue to hear it touted by politicians who view it as an effective way of encapsulating what we're really seeing is a building chorus of anger about the concentration of wealth in this country.
Benjamin Applebaum, Washington correspondent for The New York Times. Benjamin, thanks as always.
My pleasure.